Now, what we want to hear is just for you. That is what God wants to speak to us. Just for you. Just for you. For the sake of those of us who are writing down. Just for you. Now, we are hearing so much in this camp. A lot of things are coming up. The Lord has cooked various dishes, and we have been eating very much. And I am seeing us also responding to God in various dimensions. Last night was an explosion. We believe it's going to build up, and that will gladden the heart of God. Amen. Amen. Now, I had an experience, and that is the reason why, this word came to me. I had thought about, traveling with it to where we want to go by next week. Yes, I thought that the word is just for the people we are going to visit, that the Lord gave me, sometime last week. But as we came around, and as the trend, began to flow, and then, God has brought a reason why the word that I feel is for our brethren over there, He has brought a reason why we are also entitled to hear it. Amen. Amen. Just for you. Now, let's go to the book of John chapter 5. I will tell my experience. Let's open to the book of John chapter 5. From verse 1. John 5, verse 1. Anybody that's close to the microphone can read for us. We read up to verse 9. We know the story, so we don't need to take the whole. If you have the microphone close by, can you assist me read from John 5, verse 1, down to 9?
After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another stepped down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise up, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath.
Amen. Well, for me, I believe that fellowship is very active and practical. We know that there is a spiritual dimension of fellowship, but I think what we are doing now is also fellowship. And because we are in fellowship, I want us to respond. I want to be alive. When someone is in front and he's believing God, that God is bringing a word through him as a vessel, and there are people that are receiving that word, and the way to test whether there is a receptivity is when he begins to say amen or praise the Lord or whatever, and the people are responding. It means that you are receiving it. And we can't pretend about that. We are still natural. So there is a communication that takes place when there is fellowship. Fellowship, usually is between two. So brethren, I need this fellowship to be alive. Amen. Amen. Our brother, in the first night, he was bringing a word, and then we are not responding. And he said maybe because he was not prophesying. You know, so he now turned the message a little bit of prophecy, and all of us, we are just jumping up and saying amen. You know, so I don't think we know, we need to come to that point where, you know, we are manipulated. We are not here to be manipulated. Amen! So if you have something in you that is of God, and you believe that what is coming from the person before you is of God, there should be an agreement. Scripture says that the spirit that is in you will agree. Amen! Now, we have read about that experience. The man that was impotent from his birth to the age of 38. And Jesus Christ had gone to a wedding feast, invited by his mother, you know, about to start his ministry. And that was about one of his first public appearance, so that people could notice him. You know, so he came from that feast, and he decided to take this way, that this pool was situated in Jerusalem. And you wonder why, you know, he took that way, because I believe in Jerusalem is a city with very many streets. And if we have experience in town is a better built place than in where we live up here. You know, Port Harcourt Township has a lot of streets, you know, connecting streets, adjoining streets and avenues. So I believe that Jerusalem was also very structured, that Jesus Christ has so many alternatives to be able to take to get to where he's going to. But he decided to take what he took. Amen. 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 Now, as we are hearing today, we just receive explanation that God, because he's the King of Kings and is the Lord of Lords, that he always moves with entourage. Now, he went with the disciples, I believe, even though the scripture is silent about whether the disciples were with him. But there was hardly a place where Jesus Christ went to during this time of ministry that he didn't go with his disciples. So, I believe that the disciples were following him, moving with him, and then they came to this place where there was this pool that had the healing and the miracle power given to them by God himself. And he came there, and scripture says, as we read, that there were very many impotent folk, many of them different ailments, different disabilities, different situations that are pitiful and very ugly. Maybe some of them may even have a worse situation than this impotent man. But Jesus Christ just came there, went straight to this man, and said, "Will thou be made whole?" You know, so you wonder, why on earth should Jesus Christ begin to focus on this man alone? And I bet you, I've been able to do a study long ago about the other man, the madman across the river, the lake of Gennesaret. You know, he was from that village, and then when he was delivered, Jesus Christ told him, because he wanted to follow Jesus, said, "No, go back home. Go and tell your neighbors, go and tell your relatives, go and tell your friends what great things the Lord has done for you." And I discovered in the Acts of the Apostle that in that very city, there was one of the church, the early churches, one of the churches was situated in that place. So I began to feel that it was as a result of the ministry of this man that was delivered, you know, trying to share his testimony of how he met with Jesus, that a fellowship was founded in that city. Amen. Amen. Now, brethren, so I want to also believe that this man that was healed at 38 years of impotency went home with a ministry. He must have gone to his place to publish this ministry. Now, there is something I've discovered, brethren. Sometimes you feel, why am I facing all that I'm facing? Why the circumstances surrounding me? Why do I go through this experience in life? One thing to discover that God showed me is that when Aaron was earmarked for the priesthood, God himself invited Moses up to Mount Sinai. Two of them were discussing. They had a conversation privately. Now, he was telling Moses, when you go down, go and anoint Aaron and his sons, that they will be priests unto me to serve before my altar. The precious gifts, the jewelries that the children of Israel collected from their neighbors in Egypt, that I commanded them, those jewelries, you will use them to make a tabernacle a golden ark that I will be able to come and meet, you know, with the people of God. He said that you will institute this one as an ordinance forever, and his children also. Sew a garment for them so that they can minister in the priesthood. Now, while that conversation was going on, there was one third party. A third party was poking into the conversation. A third party. He was not invited. He has always not been invited, but he always appears. So he received a rumor, a whispering of what God was discussing with Moses, and he came very fast. And he wanted to run ahead of God and be able to receive all the benefit that God wants to receive from Aaron as a priest, and the benefit that God wanted to receive from the jewelries and the precious stones. And he came ahead of time. The same Aaron that God was telling Moses to come and anoint. The people of Israel said, "You are the one. Up, Aaron. This Moses, he has stayed too long. We don't know what has become of him. So you, Aaron, make us gods that will take us back to Egypt." Amen. And you wonder, the same Aaron that God is telling Moses that when he comes down, he should anoint him to be his own priest, priest unto the Most High God. The same Aaron, the devil came and said, "This is the one that I want to make it my priest. I want to make this man my priest." And then the wonder is that Aaron said, "Okay, you want me to be a priest? Now, the materials for this idolatry or whatever I want to do for you is your earrings, your necklaces, those things that you came with them from Egypt. Lose them from your children, from your women. Bring them. Let's use it to make a god." Amen. I don't know whether we are following the thought. Brethren, are we following the thought? Now, what I'm trying to say is that wanting to discover how special you are in the hands of God as a child of God, if you look at your circumstances, if you look at your environment, if you look at your lifestyle, if you look at the things that you are facing in life, you are able to discover that there is something that God has deposited in you, very precious and very, 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 you know, important to God in God's program, that the devil has seen in you. And he is an arch enemy of God. He is the very opposite of God. Whatever that is due unto God, he feels that it's more due to that thing. He has more right to that thing. And that is why he has been opposing God from the beginning. So if you see in your life serious opposition, in your Christian life you are struggling, if you are able to take a little bit of time and discover, like we are saying, that it's good to take stock. When you begin to discover, you will see something in you, an ability that God has reserved right inside of you, that he has marked for a time to be able to use you. You know, what God does is that he does a refining process, first of all. The devil does not need a refining. And that's why his own is very fast. He comes the way you are, just, you know, fast food. Just cook it. Just, no, don't worry. You know, so he will just use you the way you are. But God, always, because of our fallen nature, he begins to initiate a refining process. So before that refining comes to pass, the devil will quickly come to begin to wage war against that process so that it doesn't come to pass. Amen. Just for you. Now, we want to get one example now from Scripture. Let's go to the book of Ruth. Ruth, we know the story. Ruth is about a sister. Well, she became a sister because she decided to become an Israelite. She gave her life to God, and she vowed to follow God all her way. So she became a sister. But look at the things that happened. Now we hear that Ruth got married to Boaz, and they got a child whose name was Obed. And, you know, they gave birth, you know, in line and in line and in line, and they gave birth to David, and then David in line and in line, we now hear that our Messiah came from the tribe of David. Amen. So you wonder, if God has a plan to bring Ruth into the lineage of our Savior Jesus Christ, was it very necessary that Naomi should lose her own husband, lose her two sons? Because these are, whether we like it or not, these are the circumstances that played, you know, to be able to bring Ruth back into that decision that she made. Amen. 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 Circumstances. Somebody lost her husband, became a widow. Her two sons that would have been, you know, her only hope also died. And that is a process that God wanted to initiate, something that would be of eternal salvation to me and you that are sitting down. And you wonder, was that very necessary? It's just because of you. Amen. You know, so the Bible says that the heavens and the earth belong to the Lord, even the inhabitants. Now, we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. We are at his disposal. You know, when you begin, Brother Jose was saying in a place that Israel suffered a great deal to bring an experimental message unto us, who are the Gentiles. Israel was a very experimental material that God used. And a lot of times there were deaths that happened. And you wonder, you know, God was trying to establish something, you know, because he is the author and the finisher of life. He's the giver and he's the taker of life. Amen. One place in scripture, I'm here to understand the fullness of it. He said that he will give men for your sake. Have you read that scripture before? Yes, I've gone across that scripture over times. He said, I will give men for your sake. You know, and giving men sometimes requires death. Now, if the devil plans something against you, and you are so precious before God, God has an investment in you that he wants to reap the profit later, he will replace men for your sake. Amen! So when the devil comes to destroy you before that time, God at his disposal, God in his sovereignty, he begins to reshuffle situations, and you discover that some deaths that happen around you, they actually meant for you. Amen! Yes, it is true. It is true, scripture. Some deaths that are happening around you, they are actually meant for you. The devil's target is you. But sometimes, because God is still in the refining process, trying to purify that which he has put inside of you, so that in due time he can use you to manifest his glory, he begins to make a reshufflement. And then a replacement takes place. Where we will cry, we will mourn, we'll be sorrowful, but God knows why. Amen! The reason is that it's just for you. Now, this camp, you know, we are learning so much. Now, if you begin to feel that we are just doing it because another August, you will miss it. You will miss it. It's another August, it's another summer vacation. You will miss it. Now, if you don't understand that this whole program is just for you, you will miss it. Because a time of testing is coming. Amen. Now, the experience I had, some years ago, when I was still in the village, the place where I got born again, you know, that local assembly there, they were doing well. I'm telling you, they were doing fantastically well. You know, if I reflect back on what happened then, I didn't really know the weight of it, but things were moving. That is, the presence of God was real in that place. Very real. Revival. Now, the headquarters is in 44 Bonny Street. That was the church I attended. That is the church I attended. Now, most of the time, and then the other one in Job, when the brethren in Port Harcourt wants to get revival, maybe they feel that their spiritual life needs some, you know, a little bit of refreshing, they travel all the way from Port Harcourt to my village to have fellowship with us. Just on a Sunday, they come back. And they will testify. They will testify. Now, that is a pointer that God was actually moving. Now, the second pointer is that one of the Sundays, Bro Charles A.K., you know, went to visit Bro Yago in that place, stayed for, I think, a weekend or a week. So, I think that time, you know, they decided to come to that fellowship to worship with us. Now, when the fellowship was going on, just the praise and the worship, for me, as a new person, I tell you, I look a bit kind of maybe outspoken. Is that what to use? Or forward, but I'm a bit shy too. Amen! So I expect that as I go to a place that I've not gone before, I should be sitting down and observing what they are doing. You know, because even if you have a prompting to stand up, you'll be feeling somehow, you know, people will be looking at me, this visitor, what is he up to? You understand? But when the worship got heated up, Bro Charles stood up from his seat and was dancing around the church, a place he has not gone before. Yeah, that is, something that is used to our system. You can't just flow freely with that kind of system. But I think he didn't know when he got up. Amen. I'm talking about the experiences when, as choristers, we will give our life, our agenda, 2 days dry fast. Why? Because we want God to use us. As we minister in song, we want God to move in the songs. And true to that, sometimes when the choristers are singing, you know, giving their pieces, people are just crying in the pew and coming out to the altar, for nobody has preached the message, nobody has made an altar call. Just the choristers ministering. Because men were giving their lives. Every month we have 2 days dry fast, fasting for the choristers, for ourselves, so that God can move through us. Amen. Amen. Now another pointer is that, you know, almost every day of the week, either the women wing, they're having a fasting day, either the youth wing, they're having a fasting day, you know, the elders are having a fasting day, you know, so sometimes when you go to do a private fast, you see that people are already there. From Monday to Saturday, one day must be for one of the people, either choristers or deacons or whatever. They have a day for fasting. And no wonder that, you know, the presence of God was so manifest. At the time, that fellowship became the eye of the community. You know, it was the only pointer. When a man of God comes to that village to do evangelism or crusade, and if they don't see any member of my fellowship attend, some unbelievers will not attend. They say, this is a fake man of God. Yes, that is as much as they say that if these people don't attend that crusade, it means that man of God is not a real one. Amen! That is how, you know, it was. Now, those are the experiences that, you know, I can remember. A lot of them flashed through my mind. And why I used to remember is that now I'm feeling a wave of God's visitation in this our assembly. I'm feeling a wave. I'm feeling a wave of visitation. Now, I was simply responding to those moves of God in the way that I usually will respond as God will lead me. I shout. Sometimes I cry. I don't mind anybody's face. You know, I just release myself. When they make altar call, I go as many times as possible, trying to dedicate my life. You know, and I didn't know that all those revival that was coming, that God saw something ahead of time, and he began to bring that revival so that he can prepare some people to be able to escape what was ahead. Amen! And I happened to be one of them that escaped. I thank God for it. You know, the village, I used to discuss with some of my brothers, it is terrible right now. Very terrible. Very, very terrible. If you go to that place that I just described now, you will not know that is the place I'm just describing now. In fact, sometimes they are even, you know, trying to beg me, you know, that come now, visit us sometime so that you can, you know, give us some word. You know, they are so dry. They are so empty. You know, I don't know what to describe it. Because God showed me experience in 1998. I had a dream. And in the dream, there was this, you know, beast like a tiger, a human being, very tall, a man, but the face was like a tiger. And he was moving around my community. I saw the place, the scene was my community, but I dreamt the dream in Port Harcourt here, in Akpajo. Now, I didn't understand the dream until the realities began to dawn. Now, when this a tiger was moving in the community, on the road, people were just scampering. People were scampering for safety. Now, anytime that tiger meets you, it doesn't come physically, but what comes of his mouth? He opens his mouth and his eyes. And then when he beams on you, you begin to melt. You will see yourself melting. So people were just running for safety. I recognized one of the brothers in my fellowship, and then the beast also met him, and then he was melted. Now another one from Assemblies of God, a strong brother, he also melted. But I was now afraid, because I said, how can I stand this beast? So I went to hide in a place, an uncompleted building. I thought he would not see me, because he had not sighted me before I hid myself. Now, as he was walking past, I don't know what informed him that somebody is here. He just stood and turned towards where I am and began to release that beam, release those beams. And suddenly I saw a Bible in my hand. I don't know where the Bible came from, and I began to use the Bible to, you know, to project against those beams. And all that he did, all the enchantment he did, could not melt me. And then he left. And I woke up. Amen. Amen. Now, it is very real that a revival can break out in a local assembly. And what he wants to do is that God wants to prepare a son. God wants to prepare a vessel. God wants to prepare an ark for your salvation because he sees the future. Now, what transpired in that dream, in the reality, is that one false prophet came into my community. And my community, you know, at the time, even the unbelievers were looking at this, my local assembly that I just described. They were watching them, whether they will accept the ministry of that man. And well, the man is a citizen, he's an indigene. So maybe because of that, that connection, that natural emotion, I don't know. But somehow, they began to see that man is a man of God. The deceit was very great because he repented in the Assemblies of God Church. Amen! He was a young man, my age mate. Now, he traveled out after a while. Nobody saw him. Nobody knew about him. And then suddenly he appeared with a very great anointing. And at that point, even the Assemblies of God became divided. You know, they were divided. They were just, you know, confused. So, when this man began to operate, you know, I came with the report to fellowship. Thank God for fellowship that time. You know, and the fellowship had to pray with me so that, you know, that effect will not come upon me. Now, I'm telling you now that very church that had that, you know, move of God and much more than, you know, that I described, the man has possessed that church. You know, he landed so much that, you know, they brought some small girls that they call diviners who see. They will bring them to the altar. That is the altar where the men of God are supposed to sit and preach the word of God. Now, these small witches or wizards will be brought forward to the altar, and then they will tell these small children to look at the faces, whether there is any of them in the congregation that is also a wizard or a witch that is sitting in the church like a saint. Amen! Brethren, are we following? Permit me to give the illustration. It's because of what, you know, the body that has come to me. Now, I'm feeling strongly that because of that derailing, God abandoned that place. God just removed his glory. And I don't know where else he has moved that glory. And I am beginning to feel that because I'm here, that glory has been lifted somewhere else. But I want to pray that such more glory will come amongst us. I'm beginning to feel it. But I want to say that don't just sit aloof. When we begin to see God moving in our midst, it's not always there. It will not always be there. Because God is seeing something in the future and he wants to prepare you. Now, those people are dead. When you go there, it's dead. One of the Sundays I just, you know, branched there to worship with them is dead. You know, in fact, they were saying, can you come again so that... But if you go in such a place where they deliberately rejected God, when God was with them, and you begin to insist on going, sometimes they can even squeeze the life out of you. Amen! Brethren, are we following? Now, just for you. We went for a brother's father's burial, and we saw, you know, the burial process, the program. We young men, most of us went. Brother Iberia was also there. We didn't know that the burial was conducted by the Assemblies of God Church. It's like the man, the deceased was, you know, a member of that church. Now, the place was so boring. You know, the message they were bringing was so boring. You know, so, you know, some of us, we don't have that maturity yet to be able to manage an environment and, you know, begin to put things right. So we got tired and we just, you know, walked out of the place. Just got into the bus and we were just distant. Now, you know, our brother also happened to come around and, you know, he met us. So he was saying that this thing that you are seeing, that is even very much life that you are seeing now, that if you go to some of the Assemblies of God places, it's even more, you know, how do I put it? What is it, drier now? It's drier. It's more boring. That this one that this man is preaching is even a lively gospel to relate with. You know, so we wonder. And he began to tell us the history of how, you know, the Assemblies of God started and where they are now. Amen! And he was telling us a word that I took home, a caution. So that if we too were not careful, that we shouldn't be surprised at what we are seeing, that we also can be worse than that. And well, he just said it and so that we will settle our controversy because we are just, you know, trying to argue. You know, so he just dropped that word that if we are not careful and we are able to respond to God the way God wants us to respond to him, that we, in generations to come, we can be worse than that. I don't think any of us want to say amen to that. Will anyone say amen to that? It is a bad experience. Now, it is just for you. Brother, are you taking these things that God is showing us very serious? How are you responding to them? We are talking about resurrection. We are talking about a life that God himself is sharing with us. And Adam lost it. And he has brought it back in the person of Jesus Christ. And that is all that we are discussing during this meeting. And I'm sure we are going to discuss more. Discussion is not mere words. Bible said that the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So if, you know, I began to wonder, if in my little way, I was not responding the way I responded, maybe I would have become part of that flood. It's a flood, brethren. It's a flood. It's a flood. Now, then I had a culture. And the culture was good. It helped me. Can borrow a leaf? Every Sunday, I don't usually eat before going to church. Reason is that I felt very free and alert when I don't eat on Sunday, when I go to church. You know, I felt very, very light and alert. I'm very sensitive, open to spiritual things. And that is why sometimes you look around, a message will come, I am excited, you are not excited. Because for me, you know, it's like you are so connected and everything is real. Sometimes even the word that has not come out of the preacher, I'm hearing it. Amen. Amen. So, brethren, I did that so that I could respond to take maximum benefit of that anointing that was present at that time. And after church, I don't go home. I will pretend as if I'm going home with the rest of the people. And then after we go out of the church door, I will pass around and come inside and lock myself. And begin to respond, take time till around 4. Maybe we close by 12, 1. Till around 4. After I have really, you know, exhausted my response, I will close by 4 and then back home. And every Sunday, that was a culture, a lifestyle. Now, brethren, it helped so much. And I now believe that revival was just for me. Amen. And I know that there are places that God will yet, you know, bring me into, you know, and is still preparing. I just pray that the preparing process will be very quick. Amen. So, brethren, what are you hearing now? Okay, we have come to a meeting. Oh, my friends are here. Oh, yes. Well, you traveled for a long time. How was it? What's up? High school? You know, and all of that. And then, altar call is made. Let me watch. If he's going out, okay, I can also go out. So you watch for your friend. When the friend gets up from his seat and is going out, okay, then let me also follow. It is not always there. Because if God is bringing a revival and you don't utilize that opportunity, because God sees our end from our beginning, he knows what you're going to face even as we enter the next season of the year. Brethren, there is high level of sorcery in our environments. Sorcery that is very, very open. We traveled yesterday to our brother's village and he was telling us a story of a man that is terrorizing the whole village with sorcery. If you challenge him, he kills you, and he comes to the market square and boasts about it. And nobody can rise up to that challenge. Nobody. If you happen to come out from such a community, and then somehow, you know, God works in a certain way. God may have prepared you also. God may have deposited the strength in you also to be able to counter such a spirit. And then God will not remain dormant. He will occasion a situation where that man will step on your toes. And then the threat will come. Amen. Amen. Now, when that man threatens you, what will be your response? A notorious sorcerer. Notorious. That is, it's not anglophonized. Amen. It's not civilized. It is crude and raw. You know, so if you experience such, what can you do? So part of what we are doing now, that God is doing with us, is to prepare us for the next thing that will happen. You don't know. You don't know. Where will you travel to? And then you will confront a situation where they will say, where is your God? And you are not ready because you have not been responding to God in the moves and in the waves of glory that God is sending. You are seeing as if, this man is proving too spiritual. Maybe he's forming. Why will you be shouting every time? The Lord knows them that are his. Amen. If I were you, I would better key in to whatever that is happening and, you know, flow. Because it's good to start in the natural and then spiritual comes in. That's scripture, right? So that first is natural. So if you don't feel a stirring and somebody by you is so stirred up, is following up, you know, every bit of the message and is so excited about it and is believes that God is working something in him, don't despise. Don't say, what is he doing? You know, don't play down on that move. It's a move of God. And maybe it's because of him that we are here. Amen. Brethren, just for you. Hallelujah. Now, if God does that, the devil also does that. Remember the situation when Moses was born and Pharaoh discovered that a child of destiny was born because the devil whispered to him. You know, the spirit of the devil is, they call it diabolos. You know, and that means that, you know, someone that casts himself in between and causes a separation. That is the meaning of diabolos. You know, so when, you know, it comes, it manifests through death because death is separation. It manifests through division. Division is separation. It manifests through various forms. So that is diabolos. Now, he also works with the spirit of divination and, you know, what we call foul spirits. So he ministered to Pharaoh that somebody has been born that is a threat to your dynasty. Amen. Brethren, are we following? Now, remember that Moses was being cultured and God was also taking measures to be able to secure Moses because God has an investment in Moses. So when Pharaoh heard that and he could not locate, he could not, you know, point the very child that the devil was talking about. You know, the devil is not perfect, even though he does some things to make us wonder. You go to a church, maybe you, because of your motive, as you go to the church, you know, the pastor or some man of God will call you, oh, your name is this. Yes, you are from so-so-so village. I know why you're here. Don't worry, your problem is solved. And then you begin to tie your problems. And you say, wow, this must be God. Amen! Brethren, it is true that the devil does that, but he has not come to the level of perfection. Now, why didn't he tell Pharaoh exactly where the child is? And unfortunately for Pharaoh, the child was going to be in his palace. God has prepared his palace as a training ground for that child, and he could not wipe that child. But he did something. Just for the sake of Moses, he killed all the male children that were born at that season. Just to be sure that since he cannot pinpoint who is the threat, everyone should go. So that even this threat, destiny child will also go. So it's just because of somebody, such a mass killing came upon the children, just for you. So if something is happening, sometimes you should take, you know, some step and say, why is this thing happening? Know you are standing with God. Know who you are in God. And you know that somehow, maybe the devil is targeting you. It happened also in the time of Jesus. You know, when Herod heard about that news, he killed all the male child from 2 years and below, just for the sake of Jesus Christ. But already, the safety has been prepared, and then God has moved ahead. Amen! Amen. I believe in this camp that God is preparing safety boats, safety ark, safety deliverance for every one of us that are children of destiny in Jesus' name. Amen. But it all depends on how you will recognize who you are, first of all. If you recognize that you are a child of destiny and that God has a program for your life and you begin to make the right responses, I tell you, when the calamities, whatever that may come, God will make a way for you, a safety for you. You know, one of the first time we traveled to Sierra Leone, you know, the flight we took, my seat was next to the window and a woman was to sit by the window. The number was that window seat. And the woman came and, you know, was begging me that let's make a replacement. I said, why? Said that she's always afraid. That she has flying phobia. That she doesn't like flying, but necessity just, you know, happened that she must travel because she's the breadwinner of the family and that she does a business in Dakar. So she flies, you know, very often. So I said, okay, so you are afraid to fly and you are still flying. He said, yes, that the takeoff, anytime the plane is jerking up to take off, she will vomit. Even the landing, you know, that movement, she will vomit. You know, but she just cannot stay in the house. Amen! So, I replaced. I was enjoying the sight. You know, I opened the window. I was just viewing, you know, above the cloud and all of that. You know, nothing scary. Nothing to be afraid. You know, so I was just enjoying the scene. Now, I told her that the way to solve that fear is to know who you are. I said, are you born again? He said, well, I'm a Christian. I said, okay, well, maybe we'll start from there. Now, it is not just being a Christian. If you are sure that you are not born again, you don't have a right relationship with God, you better do that in this camp. Amen! Because it brings, not just as we just had a few minutes ago, it is not for you to go to heaven. There is a confidence I'm telling you, a confidence that you have as a child of God. You know you have a covenant relationship with God by the blood. There's a confidence that is in you. When I'm traveling, I don't keep my eyes watching. Driver, stop. Don't you know you are carrying human beings? That's not my business. Amen. I don't bother with that. I prayed, God, take control of the driver, take control of the engine. As I'm on the highway, I don't even want to experience any accident because it will not come. And I just go to sleep. What I'm waiting is to reach my destination. Amen. What do you think gives me that confidence? Because it's just for me, my Savior died. Hallelujah. It's just for me, my Savior died. I was telling her that story, that if you don't get born again, you will live in perpetual fear. So when you get born again, number one, then you go to God and say, but what do you have for me in this life? Is there anything you would want me to do? Do I have a purpose to live at all? You know, because I used to tell people, there was a time when, you know, at the end of the day, as I go to bed to sleep, trying to pray, I don't have anything to repent from. I don't know whether my mind was too shallow that time. That is, I mean, confessing sins, you know, before praying. You know, you want to pray and then things are just there. I will go to pray. I don't have any sin that will come to my mind to confess. That is what I mean that, you know, there was an experience that I had that time. When a temptation is coming, I don't know who whispers to me. I believe it's the Holy Spirit. Except I disobey. And I know why most of the time I disobey. Because God will want me to know why he did not want me to go there. So sometimes when I'm in rebellion, if I go there, I see the effect. And I know why God ministered to me before now that I should not have passed this way. Amen. Amen. So the way to be perfect, brethren, the way to be a perfect Christian is when the Holy Spirit is telling you ahead of time. When temptation is coming, it just simply opens to you. You know that if I in this discussion, I may be tempted to tell a lie. And then you just avoid it. So at the end of the day, I go to pray. Sometimes I ask brethren, you know, you people, every time, you know, you are just, you know, liking me, coming around me. Don't you have things to tell me about my life so that I can also repent? So you know, sometimes I don't see anything to repent from. But you people will bring a problem. Oh, I'm having this weakness. So please, can you pray for me? And all of that. I say, but can't you point out things that I should repent from? So what I'm saying is that at that time, it was a glorious experience that we are walking close to perfection. Amen. Now, if God does not have a plan for me to be alive in his program, why should God not take such a person? God should have called you home if it is just to repent and go to heaven. I was right for heaven that time. Very much right for heaven. But I didn't die. Situations came. You know, at that time I was not taking drugs. I was practicing faith. You know, and then I would be very sick. My elders will come after praying. They will say, we know you. Just mention to you. Do we go and buy so and so? I say, don't worry. I will be well. And then the experience would be very excruciating. I remember one time I felt as if my intestines were being, you know, shredded with a razor blade. And I was stooling. I was vomiting. I said, don't worry. It will be okay. Just, as you are praying, just believe. I believe in your prayer. And that is the way it will go. Amen. Amen. That is when I have a strength to believe that a man cannot die when God has not allowed him to die. No sickness can take a believer. Amen. No sickness can take a believer. So, if God, in all those experiences, did not take me home when he knew that at least maybe a little washing will just make me to collect at least the third seat in heaven, why didn't he take me that time? Amen. So, brethren, if you are still alive as a Christian, there is a work for you. There is something God has planned for your life, an agenda to face and manifest resurrection in the earth. Resurrection life is real. It is real. You know, our brethren have experienced it, you know, bits and pieces. And it has now, you know, left for us to be able to come and fill up that gap. Some of them have gone to be with the Lord, and then they are telling us the experiences. We hear them on tapes. But how many of us are going to make ourselves available in this program and in this revival that God is bringing to say that it's just for me? God is preparing me for a greater work in the near future. Let me give my whole life to this thing. Amen. Because it will not always be. Underscore it. It will not always be. There have been moves of God in the earth. Moves of God. That tangible moves of God in various assemblies. And if you go there now, it's Colossus. It's just an epitome of, you know, anger, malice, unforgiveness, fighting. Can you imagine that assemblies of God will be able to, you know, do what they are doing right now? Politics going to, you know, to the media, and then, you know, enforcement agencies coming to settle. And I mean, it's nasty. And this is a spiritual, you know, revival that God started in Nigeria, the evangelical move. They were one of them. And then look at them. So it's not always there sometimes. It depends on the response that we are going to make. Amen. Just for you. This revival that God is bringing now is just for you, somebody. It's just for you. Begin to identify yourself. What do you have that God is laying so much investment to be able to, you know, to culture that thing that is inside of you, that it will come to fullness where God can begin to reap from that profit? Brethren, to close. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the book of Jonah.